Our reading this morning comes from 1 John chapter 2. We are reading from verse 3 up to verse 11. And Kirsty will come and read for us.
We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, "I know him," but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. Amen.
As we continue with our series on the letters of John, this morning, like I said, we want to think about loving one another. Loving one another. In the 1960s, the Beatles produced a song, maybe some of you know it, they produced a song entitled "All You Need Is Love." All you need is love. And I was reading something written by Victor Hugo, who was a French politician, and he said, "The supreme happiness of life is the conviction that we are loved. The supreme happiness of life is the conviction that we are loved." And then Sigmund Freud, the founder of psychoanalysis, said, "Love is the first requirement for mental health. Love is the first requirement for mental health." And how bold one gets when one is sure of being loved. And then the Bible tells us that God is love, and that God loves us. Apostle John wrote in his gospel a popular verse, John chapter 3, verse 16. He wrote that God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to take the punishment for our sins and give us eternal life in himself. So today, in our series, we are now on 1 John chapter 2, verse 7 to 11. That we read from verse 3, but we are thinking basically about what John said in verses 7 to 11. The general theme the general theme of John's letter is authentic Christianity. Authentic Christianity, which means they are, during John's time, there were fake Christians. There was some kind of false Christianity that was running parallel to with authentic Christianity. So John had to show the signs of authentic Christianity. He wrote this letter to reassure Christians in their faith and to counter false teaching. And the key verse of his first letter is found in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, where John said, "I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life." That is the main purpose that John wrote this letter. So John divides all humanity into two categories. There are those who are non-Christians, and John said, such are walking in the darkness. And those who are Christians, walking in the light. And he said, a person can only get into the light when he or she meets the light of the world, Jesus Christ, as a personal Lord and Savior. How does one come to Christ personally? By believing that Christ is the Lord who died and rose again. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So how can we know that we are not in the darkness? That we are not fake Christians, that we are not just nominal or Christians in name only? How can we know that we know the Lord Jesus Christ? Authentic Christianity is not about what we know, but it's about who we know. We are authentic Christians if we have come to know Jesus Christ, because knowing him is eternal life. John said, professing Christians must expose themselves to the light of God and apply several tests to determine whether they are true children of God or not. So he said authentic Christianity should pass three tests. It should pass three tests. The first one is the moral test. That is the test of obedience to the word of God. And David has been teaching us on that for the past few weeks, the moral test. It says we cannot know God and continue to walk in their darkness, because God is light. He is pure. He is holy. He is righteous. So the heretic teachers of John's time were saying, you can know God and also remain in the darkness, still disobeying God's word. But John says, if you know God, the first test is obedience to God's word, and you will delight yourself in God's law, which is God's word. Like what David wrote in Psalm 119, verse 16. David said, I delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. So if we find that God's word gives us pleasure, then we are in the light. The more we obey God's word, the more we open the door for his love to accomplish his purposes in our life. So we said, John said, we should expose our lives to the light of God and then test ourselves through these three tests, the first one being the moral test, and then the second one is the social test, which is the test of love, which is what we are going to be thinking about today, the test of love. Then the third one, we are yet to look at it as we go on with this series. It is called the doctrinal test. That is the test of belief in Christ. What do we believe about the person and work of Jesus Christ? We find that people believe different things about Jesus Christ and about his works. So there should be a doctrinal test. We will look at that as we go on. So as for the social test, this morning we are thinking about the believer and his or her relationships. The believer and his or her relationships. John says in this letter, the one who claims to abide in him ought to walk in the same manner as Jesus walked. And Jesus walked the way of love. So a life of love is a sign of authentic Christianity. If Jesus' life, and especially his death, epitomized love, then those who claim to follow him should live in love. So in this section of his letter, John speaks against hating fellow believers. He says hating fellow believers is evidence that we are still in the darkness. What does hating mean? The Greek word used for hate means disdain for another, looking down on someone as if they are beneath you. Such an attitude would have caused great problems within the church during John's days, and it can cause the same today. Hate can manifest in neglect. It can manifest as neglect. It can manifest as contempt. We can feel that others are just an inconvenience to us. It can manifest as open enmity. That is, considering another believer as competition and seek to regard them as an enemy. Anyone who claims to be in the light must, but hates his brother is still in the darkness. That is what John said. Because authentic Christianity is a life of loving one another. The church should be a hub of love. Maybe some of us may have come into the Christian faith from backgrounds where we did not experience love. Maybe we were abused. Maybe we were in a series of abusive relationships with the opposite sex. So we have no models of how to love other people. So we may need to unlearn many bad ways of relating to others that we brought with us from the past. We may have to relearn how to think, how to speak, and act in loving ways, especially towards those who wrong us. Apostle John points us to Jesus Christ as our model of selfless and sacrificial love. In verse 7, addressing his readers, John says he addresses them as beloved. He said, beloved. The Greek word used for beloved means highly esteemed and favored ones. So, urging them to love one another, he assures them of his love for them. These were people who were about to abandon his teachings. He could have been justified to write a scolding letter to them because they were about to follow false teachers. But instead of doing that, he refers to them as beloved. So, urging them to love one another, he assures them of his love for them. John was able to confront error in love. He said to them in verses 7 to 8, I am not writing to you a new commandment, but an old one, which you have heard since the beginning. Yet I am writing to you a new command. Its truth is seen in him, referring to Jesus Christ, and in you, referring to those who trust in Jesus Christ. The truth of the commandment to love is true in Jesus Christ, and it is true in those who trust in Jesus Christ. And he said, it's true because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. So he said, I am writing to you an old, new commandment. Not only is the commandment to love old, but it is also new. So it's a paradox. It is old. The commandment to love is old because Moses taught it in the law. Leviticus 19, verse 18. Moses said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And also in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, Moses said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And then Jesus came and he combined the two commandments in Matthew chapter 22, verse 34 to 40. He combined the two commandments and said the first is that of loving God. And it leads to the second greatest, which is the commandment to love our neighbor. So he said these two greatest commandments should come just in that order. You should first love God. And loving God produces love for neighbor. It produces love for one another. Any attempt to rearrange these great commandments, or maybe to leave one of those commandments, if you try to love God only, or try to love the neighbor only, you will miss it. Adam failed and violated that command in the garden when he decided to love Eve at the expense of God, and the whole human race fell with him. We should love God and then love our neighbor. Cain, Adam's son, tried to love God only without loving his brother, Abel, and he ended up murdering his brother in the context of worship. And Cain asked God, am I my brother's keeper? Genesis 4, verse 9. God expects us to be our brother's keeper. God always wanted us to be our brother's keeper. And maybe we are still asking the same question that Cain asked. Am I my brother's keeper? And God would say, yes, you are expected to look after the needs of your brother. You are expected to serve each other with love and humility. So this command has always been there, but without Christ, no one could ever be able to obey it. So John says the commandment is also new. It is old, it has always been there, but it is also new because Jesus Christ issued it as a new commandment. John was remembering how Jesus Christ demonstrated that unconditional love in the upper room on the night when Jesus was betrayed. Jesus took a towel and maybe put it on his shoulder and a basin of water and washed. He stooped down and started to wash his disciples' feet. He then said to his disciples, If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example. We must set aside our rights and privileges in order to serve one another out of love. Jesus also said, John was also remembering John chapter 13, verse 35, where Jesus said in the same context of the upper room on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So the standard, Jesus changed the standard or the standard of love. He changed the benchmark. He said, you are no longer supposed to love your neighbor as you love yourself. He said, I am making it new. You should now love one another as I loved you. And the disciples knew how Christ had loved them. They were very difficult characters. We have no time to look at that. But you would remember Peter and his character. You would remember Judas Iscariot. You would remember the sons of thunder, John, James and John. They were very difficult, but Christ loved them as they were. He loved them sacrificially. So as followers of Christ, we are no longer supposed to love our neighbor basing on how we love ourselves, but now we should imitate Christ when it comes to selfless, self-giving love. And Jesus extended the definition of neighbor to go beyond race, to go beyond rank, and even to go beyond our enemy, as in the parable of the Good Samaritan. So anyone in need who crosses my path is my neighbor. John said the new commandment to love is true in Christ and in us because the light of Jesus Christ is already shining, and the proper behavior of people who live in that light is love for fellow believers. Jesus Christ is the true light of love. We should abide in Christ in order to be able to walk in love. We should always be walking in love. But we should always define love biblically and not culturally. In most cultures, love means niceness. If you ask, what does a loving person look like? In most cultures, people will think of a nice and sweet person towards everyone, a person who never confronts sin or error, one who never gets angry or never say anything that upsets someone. If we have that definition of a loving person, then we read the Gospels, we might think maybe Jesus was not a loving person, because Jesus' love would confront error. He would confront sin. So Jesus was loving when he said to the Jewish religious leaders, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." He also loved Peter when he said to him, "Get behind me, Satan." He loved the multitude, but said to them, "You unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you?" I am not saying we should go around blasting people, claiming that we are loving them. But the point is that loving one another means obeying God's commandment. It means compassion without compromising the biblical truth. So it calls for us to sometimes rebuke one another. But basically, our love for one another reveals that we are in the light. Jesus said, by this, meaning by love, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Our hatred reveals that we are in the darkness. When we abide in the light, we can see clearly and therefore walk as Christ walked. If we love people, we are able to see how we can avoid sinning against them. Hatred distorts our perspective. Those who are in the darkness do not have the truth to guide them, so they don't know where they are going. Their lives are just for the here and now. John Stott said, we do not first misjudge people, then hate them. But our view of them is already influenced by our hatred. It is love which sees straight, thinks clearly, and makes us balanced in our outlook, in our judgments, and in our conduct. God's way of loving is true in Jesus Christ, like I've said. So how do we get the God kind of love which John is encouraging us to have? Love comes to us because we abide in Jesus Christ. As Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, where he says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given unto us. That is the only way we can love one another as Christ loved us. Love comes out of a shared life with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In Christ, we are now able to do the old command because the darkness is passing away. John did not say the darkness is completely past us. He said it is still passing away. So in our attempt to love one another, we still incur times of weakness are still with us. We sometimes find ourselves hateful towards our brother for no apparent reason. We are still work in progress. The darkness is in the process of passing away. God continues to remind us to love one another because he knows that Christ's light is already shining and the darkness in us that causes us to hate our brother, is still passing on. It will continue to pass away. It's still passing away. So that was John's teaching. What John was saying is that, was revealing, is that the one single desperate need of humanity is for love. Love transformed John's life. The Apostle John's life was transformed by the love of Jesus Christ. He used to be a son of thunder, but he ended up being an apostle of love or a disciple of love, because he realized that what we need is love. We have a hunger for love and we have an inability to satisfy it. So he presented the good news. The good news is that the highest variety of love known to humanity, a selfless love that is passionately committed to the well-being of others, that is unconditional and sacrificial, is true in Christ, and it is also true in us because we are now in Christ. We are now abiding in Him, growing in the love that is like the love of Jesus Christ is a lifelong process because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, you know that we are empty and unable to love as we ought to. But we are in you, and you do not lack love, even for the unlovely. May you shed your love abroad into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom you gave unto us. We ask that you love your people through us, in Jesus' name. Amen.